It is a morning, isn't it? I have to tell you, the Old Testament lesson, that's where we're going to start today. And we want to kind of just run that through our heads a little bit. You see, the created humanity, Adam and Eve, and God puts them in paradise. Now, I have never been to Hawaii, but I've heard that this is close. Or Tonga. I'm hearing that Tonga is very close to paradise. Is that true? Tongans, yeah? Neo's not saying anything. Paradise, all the food, the fruit is all on the trees. There is nothing harmful in the surrounding. This is the Garden of Eden. And they're in the garden, and it's wonderful, and it's easy, it's luxurious. They don't have to worry about anything. They don't even have to wear clothes. It's just perfect. There's only one rule. Isn't that always the case, doggone it? There's always a rule or something. And simple rule. God says to them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. And the day that you eat it, you shall die. One tree. Now, if you've heard the story before, a lot of people say the apple tree. We don't know if it was an apple tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Somehow it always gets that moniker of being an apple, but it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we acknowledge that one simple tree has fruit on it, which we, Adam and Eve, are forbidden to eat. They disobey the rule. They are ejected from paradise. They're kicked on out, and they go out into a life where they have to struggle for food, for clothing, for shelter, for health. They have to scrabble in the dirt. They have to fight their way through life. We know what that feels like, don't we? That's where we are. This is the world that we're living in. This is the world that is a blessing and is a beautiful thing, but it is still work. It is still a struggle. It is a journey. I passed over the serpent, but I want to come back because, you see, the serpent represents that simple reality that you're either with God or against God. And the serpent puts that out there. He says, well, you can do that. God told you that. But I tell you, if you will not die if you eat of the fruit. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. This has begins one of the most humorous sections of the Old Testament for me. Do you see a lot of, have you ever noticed all the humor in the Bible? A lot of people say, there's humor in the Bible. But listen to this, and I think you'll understand, especially the way it was written. This is a wonderful section. You see, Adam and Eve, they hear God walking in the garden in the evening. That's a beautiful evening out there. You've seen some of those when it's not too hot and you're out and the air is so wonderful and it's been a beautiful day. And they hear God walking and they hide themselves. And God says, where are you? Where, Adam? Now, you have to pause a minute here because we believe as God is all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. Do you think God doesn't know where they are? Adam, are you there? Where are you? Oh, we saw you coming and we saw we were naked and so we hid ourselves. Who told you were naked, Adam? You didn't eat of that tree, did you? Can you hear this conversation going on? And Adam is just, he says, the woman, she gave me the fruit and I ate. When I was very young, I probably tried the same scam. I have two daughters, and I have watched them play that scam several times. Some not too long, you know, fairly recently, but that's another story, too. And at some point, the woman will say, well, it was the serpent who gave me the fruit of the tree. The serpent tricked me. It's not my fault. I didn't do these things. It's humorous, and part of it is interesting because it's what we still do today. Oh, it's not my fault that I did this or that I didn't do that or that I can't do this or that or what. We always have some set of excuses, like we can convince God of those things. And all along, God knows the whole story. God has it all figured out well ahead of time and knows who and what we're about and where we are with everything. So this is kind of about honesty, too. Honesty, that's the name of the title of the sermon, is honesty. And it's about having a choice and making a choice, and it's about that choice business. He's saying the same thing when Jesus talks to us in the New Testament. Did you hear that? He's saying the same thing. They're gathered and things are hectic. They're chaotic. Anybody know what that's like? Things are going every which way, and they say he has a demon because Jesus apparently is caught up in this, and he's teaching some radical things. Think about that a moment. If you're a people of that day and age in the Jewish tradition, you stayed away from unclean people. You stayed away from pagans. You built a wall around yourself to protect you and your religion. That's how that religion worked. And yet he comes and he says, love one another. Reach beyond that. Reach out to people that are unclean and help them. He's teaching them things that are outrageous and radical and different. And they say, oh, he has a demon. This guy's gone over the hill. That's not quite the biblical phrase, but you're with me on this. And they turn to him and say, Jesus, your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside. It always intrigues me that there's a sister in there. I didn't know Jesus had a sister. I'd love to find out more about that. I don't think we know anything more about it. But at any rate, his kin is outside. They're inside. He's in the midst of this crowd. They're teaching and talking, and they're outside. They can't even get in. And they said, your mom and your sister and your brothers are outside. And he says, who is my brother and my sister? Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. This is about choice again. This is about honestly backing up and saying you have a choice. We're going to do what God calls us to do, or we're not. It's an intriguing piece to back into that Old Testament for a second and think about what God said to Adam and Eve. If you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge, you will die. Now, some have argued, well, did God lie to them because they didn't die? The serpent says, if you eat of it, you won't die at all. But have you ever seen a little kiddo and you try and explain something to them that's hard? And you have to tell them in a language that they can understand and that's appropriate for them. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was in elementary and junior high school. It was called junior high then. It's called middle school, isn't it? In the 60s, mid-60s to the late 60s. Some of you remember that period of time. Well, I remember hunting and fishing and building rafts on the Colorado River and being a Boy Scout and exploring and doing all kinds of fun things. But I wasn't much aware of riots, of protests, of killing. And I was only minimally aware of the war in Vietnam and the controversy over that battle. And I was not at all aware of some of those that were coming back from Vietnam who were injured of body, spirit, and mind. PTSD, we call it today. I don't know that they had a name for it then. I don't know. I had some cousins that were my best friend cousins. We just loved doing stuff with them, and they were older. And they came back, but one of them didn't come back It wasn't the mic that went. He was changed. But as a kiddo, I didn't know any of that stuff. I was kind of protected from that. I was unaware. And as all kids should be, I guess, I wasn't worried about life's finitude. You know, we only have a certain amount of time here. And none of us gets out of that end of time. And I didn't really think about that as a kid. I didn't need to. I didn't need to worry about it because you're a kid. You can be innocent and enjoy and celebrate. But then as you become an adult, you begin to learn that you have responsibilities. You have responsibilities for not only taking care of what you're about and some of the people you work with, but vital responsibility for family. Any of you ever had any worries about those responsibilities? I've laid awake at nights worrying about this, that, or the other. Different times in my life, at pivotal moments when things were going one way and then all of a sudden turned another way, or when I didn't know which direction to turn, I've had those moments of worry. I have left the garden, and the reality of life is upon me. So if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will understand death, and you will understand dying. And that's a heavy thing. As Christians, we have responsibilities. You know, it's always wonderful. We have what we call baby Christians, people that come to the Bible for the first time. I remember starting a Bible study class in a church once, and I said, okay, so let's turn to the beginning of the New Testament. And one of the guys was holding his Bible there, and he had a blank look on his face. Had no idea that there was an Old and New Testament. And that's all right. But that much of a baby Christian to not understand that this book has some interesting things in it, and that it's divided up in different ways, and the more you read it, and the more you read it, and the more you read it, the more interesting it gets. I've been doing this for 30-some years, and the scripture this morning, read it another way and you hear something more and it informs me again. But as Christians, we grow and we become people of responsibility. We make vows in our Christian dedication at confirmation or of membership. And we make vows to be about following Christ and trying to do God's will. Caring for widows and orphans and the poor and the sickly and the hungry. Feeding the hungry. Ruby lifted up some of our work that we're doing. There are people out there that are not making ends meet. And some of those need our care. Welcoming sojourners. You know that word sojourner? It's another word for people from somewhere else that have come here. Some of them are passing on through. Some of them are here to join this nation of immigrants and to become part of us. But welcoming them is a huge part of what Jesus taught. It was foreign to the people that he was telling it to. They couldn't understand how you'd let foreigners, pagans, into the body. But this is about doing his will. And loving one another. Well, that was easy to understand. I love my family. And I love the people I like. But Jesus says, love your enemies. This guy has a demon. This guy is nuts. So you have choices. We have a choice to stay in the garden, to be innocent, oblivious, not worrying about anything but ourselves. I didn't have this written in the sermon, but it just reminded me of a fun story. Years ago, when the girls were little, we were cooking, and we had some kind of dessert, and it was a very yummy dessert. Everybody liked it. And so Melissa's sister, Sarah, was standing next to the dessert. I said, Sarah, go ahead and divide it in half for you and Melissa. So she looked at me, and she looked at the dessert, and she cut it, but it was nowhere near in half. And quick like a rabbit, she scooped one big portion onto her plate and a smaller portion onto Melissa's portion. And I said, I didn't tell you. I said, you get to cut it in half, but she gets to pick which piece she wants. Oh, she put it back in. She measured that. I swear she had a tape measure out dividing that in half. but that's an age. It's nothing wrong. She wasn't being, she's just taking care of herself, looking out for her own best interests. But we become adult, we grow, we become the Christian people we're called to be. And as such, we have some responsibilities. And we have responsibilities to take care of the world around us. That's okay. It can be kind of a weight. It can be a little more work. It can be a more responsibility. And it doesn't allow me to be quite as frivolous with the way I live my life in some ways. But I make that choice, honestly, because I have already received that wonderful gift from Christ of everlasting life, of Christ in my life with me, of Christ guiding and inspiring and helping me use my gifts and graces to reach out and care for the world. So it is a time that we pause with these two scriptures. We laugh a little bit at Adam making sure that he could get around God, catching him at what he had done, and reminding us that God knows all, sees all, and that we can pause and in honesty turn back to God, and God still welcomes us and forgives us. What a gift, forgiveness. And what a gift of Christ to show us how to offer love and find that the more we give away, the more we find. This is about Christ. Amen.